Welcome to the Destiny Church Podcast. We just want to take a second to thank you for listening today. We hope today's message encourages you to find a closer walk with the Lord. Here at Destiny Church, you can find real, relevant relationships. Let's join in on the message together and hear a word from the Lord.
Well, it's been, quite a number of years since we were introduced to Dennis and Vanessa. They weren't married when we first met them, and Dennis was living in Auburn, and he soon found Vanessa, a Brazilian Portuguese-speaking woman of God who is just an amazing person. In fact, when I found out how amazing she was, we hired her, and she had been a personal assistant. She'd been a finance manager for me for many, many years. And she's just an amazing, amazing person. They have two beautiful young daughters, and a number of years ago, they decided to go. Live, connect, grow, and go. They had been through the growth track, through the School of Leaders, and so we want to go be missionaries in Brazil. And so we sent them, and they have gone, and they're in the heart of ministry. They're in Natal in northern Brazil, and we've even sent a missions team there. My daughter and some others have been there to minister with them, but they are back now. They decided to come back when it was cold. I don't understand why they decided to do that, but they're here this morning, and if you don't know them, you're going to love them. If you already know them, why don't you stand on your feet and welcome back Dennis and Vanessa Nichols.
No, go for it. You got the.
Hello, everyone. Hi. It's awesome to be here and see so many faces. It's so good. It feels be back at home. It's like, and I love this weather because I live in the summer year round. So I'm like, I want cold. I know I'm weird, but it's okay. Good to see everybody.
Yeah, so much for my public speaking wife, huh? I love that woman. Oh, my gosh. Thank you, thank you, thank you for everyone that supports us in the mission in Natal. For those that don't know us, I'm going to kind of recap everything that we do. I do want to encourage everybody. I am sold out. We're going to do our first encounters this year with our people because that's how important it is for us. When we were here, I led a ton of encounters. I love seeing people set free. I love seeing people grow up in the Lord. If you want to mature in the Lord, you need to give things up. And Encounter Weekend is just a wonderful time. Not only do you get to encounter the living God, you get to encounter brothers and sisters. I guess you do the same thing, although the guys' encounter rocks so much better than the women's. But anyway, that's why the women go first, because they're just embarrassed by when the men come back empowered. Anyway, go. If you have not been on Encounter, go. I find value in it. We it's the beginning of a journey into Christ-likeness that jumpstarts your life. And I did get paid for that announcement. No, I'm joking. It's wonderful. But our DNA is to do the work of that which Christ has given us to go and do, which is to set the captive free, to unify the body of Christ. And in doing so, we're encountering Jesus in a way in Brazil that sadly I never encountered here, because when I was here, I was comfortable. When we were here, I was comfortable. Vanessa was comfortable. We were very comfortable. Being where you guys are, we were very comfortable. When you sell everything and you go to a foreign country, suddenly you're out of your comfort zone. I didn't speak Portuguese when I left. And I still really don't speak it that good. But hey, you know, we get by. We get by. And my guys are now correcting my Portuguese, which before they were like scared to death of me because I'm like bigger than everybody, but now they feel comfortable enough to say, "Gringon, you're wrong. Quit saying that word." It's like, oh, okay. So, but I want to encourage everybody to just keep going because that's life, and that's life in abundance. And to have life in abundance, you have to be set free. We are in the northeast. So if you look at a map of Brazil, we are at the northeast corner. The city's called Natal. It translates, we live in Christmas. Christmas every day. That's where we live. So every time you guys go, oh, Christmas? No, I'm there 365 days a year. I'm in Christmas. The Northeast, there are 9 states in the Northeast. Okay, I'm going to give you some history here on our economic situation and what we do and why we do what we do. In the Northeast, there's 9 states. Okay, geographically, these 9 states, if you take the 9 states and overlay them on a map of the United States, basically the eastern United States, so from the Mississippi to the Atlantic, from Florida all the way up to like New York. So from New York, Massachusetts, the Northeast would not be included. I won't go into politics, but I'm glad the Northeast would not be included with us. But anyway, so that is our geographical area that we are called and ministering in right now. We're connecting with other kingdom ministers because what we're finding is we're connecting with people whose hearts are the same. In this region, basically we're kind of like Mississippi, Alabama. When the slaves came in, the cotton trade, the sugarcane trade, so there's a large influx of slavery. When the slavery was abolished, they all continued to remain in this area. Poverty, 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 poverty. And you go, well, we have poverty here. Poverty defined in Brazil is this. In order to receive government assistance, you have to live at a level of $50 a month or less. $50 a month. Who here has probably $50 in their pocket right now? This is $50 a month or less. To be considered for extreme poverty, it's $25 a month or less. Wow. Praise God. God knew where he was sending us. So in this area, if you take all of the poverty in all of Brazil, and we're just the northeast portion of it, so out of 200 million people, total population, out of all the poor in all of Brazil, 60% of the poor live in our region. So 60% of the entire population of poor people in Brazil live in the Northeast. Very impoverished. But Jesus. But Jesus. His heart is inclined to the poor. The Lord's heart is inclined to the poor. And what we're finding is we're connecting with people. We're connecting with kingdom ministries in the Northeast that these ministries all have an inclination to go to the poor. We deal with prostitutes, we deal with transvestites in our city, but in these last few years, our heart has been questioning the Lord. Anybody ever have questions for the Lord? Like, why, God? God is not bigger. Your why is not bigger than God's response. Why? Why do I have a prostitute that's working a corner 4 blocks from me? Why do I have these transvestite prostitutes working 4 blocks from me? Why, God, do we have crime that's just insane in our city? It's just insane. Right now, the police are on strike, and since the end of November, we've had 100 murders in our city just since the end of November because the police the police aren't getting paid because of the poverty. It's just it's this cycle that has to be broken. And when you sit there and go, why, God? Why do I have to go and talk to this girl? When you're talking to these girls, it's like they're coming from the interior. They come in on the weekends and they make more money in one night than they will make 3 months working. When you realize $50 a month before, you have to make less than that before the government will even think about you. You're nothing. But do you think they want to sell their body? I don't think so. But they have no other choice. So we get together with these guys, and it's amazing. The year of 2017, we connected in with ministries all throughout these 9 states, and every one of them has this. They say, we have to change the society. We have to do something. There has to be, what is the answer? What is the answer? Jesus. When somebody gets Jesus, the true mark of Jesus being in the room, the true mark of Jesus being in society is that people begin to hope again. Proverbs says this. Proverbs says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire has been fulfilled, it's a tree of life. A tree of life. Life starts to spring up. We've gone to the interior. We go, we travel, and we go into the interior. We have four cities. When we go back, we're going to begin. I have guys in my group that we've been training for a year now. We've been working with these guys. We've been teaching them. We don't know anything. We're just doing what we were taught to do, which is go, sit with people, pour your heart into them, share your DNA, change the way they think, change the way they minister, change that they're expressing love everywhere they go. And we're teaching them the word. We're teaching them what they do this a lot. It's here. And it's like, yes, it's here because that's Jesus in you. Now let's study the word and let's find out. And then now you have enough. Let's go apply it. Let's go share it. Let's go give it away. We're making disciples not so we can fill up a church. We're making disciples so we can impact a nation. We're making disciples so that when they go and they're sitting in the dirt with somebody, they know who they are in Christ Jesus. They're not going left or right. They're not watching YouTube here, there, whatever. They are found in a foundation. They're firm in a foundation of Christ Jesus. So when those winds blow, they're not buffeted. And then they have these people they're pulling alongside. And they're saying, I don't know. I just know the word. I know Jesus. I know the word. Walk with me. That's all we do. Sounds like something you guys are doing here. But if you want Springfield, or you want Central Illinois, you want Illinois, you want the Midwest, you want the nation change, you have to get grounded and then go. That's it. There is no special qualification for ministry. There is no special qualification. Guys, I do not have a college degree of ministerial blah, 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 blah with a bunch of letters at the end of it. I don't. I have Jesus. That's all I have is Jesus. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I'll freely give you Jesus. So we go in the interior now, and we go with these ministries. And when we go to the interior, we sit in the dirt with them. Is it okay if I sit here? Yeah? I don't know. And we just sit in the dirt next to somebody, and we look at their eyes, and we listen. See, I don't go to give them money. I don't go to give them food. I go to listen. And somewhere in there, there's a problem. And you know what the problem is? Doesn't matter. You know what the solution is? Jesus. Be smart. Always give Jesus. Don't give them some theological understanding of the universe and how it all... No, Jesus. And how do you give Jesus? How do you give Jesus? You express love. You express love. You just, I don't know what it looks like for you. Okay, I don't know what it looks like. It's different for every person. It's different for, it might be a hug. It might be a firm rebuke. Dude, you're stupid. Quit doing that. I love you. That is love. I'm sick and tired of a weak Christianity that goes around and lets people wallow in their sin, wallow in their hopelessness, and they will not give them Jesus because somehow Jesus is going to offend them. I don't see cancer doctors walking into a place and going, well, brother, you're good. He leaves the room and goes, man, they're dying in 3 days unless they get this surgery. No, you want that guy to walk in and say, man, unless we have surgery today, you will die. That is the gospel. That you want to transform the city? I'm not saying go out there and tell everybody they're sinners. They know they're sinners. I'm telling you, go out there. Embrace them. Get to know them. Hug them. Let them cry on your shoulder. And in doing that, you will change. You will change. Disciple somebody. My goodness, when you start discipling somebody, Suddenly I have to study harder than I've ever studied because they're asking me questions that I've never heard. They're questions I've never asked. I'm dealing with millennials. Oh my goodness, these people are crazy. I mean, but the thing of it is they're asking bona fide. That's a good word. That's an old English word, bona fide. Anyway, they're asking questions that are genuine. They're not asking silly, stupid questions. They're asking questions that are real. And if I'm not in the Word, or if I'm not transparent enough to go, wow, I don't have a clue what you just asked me. Let's search it in the Word together. That's discipleship. Quit giving them answers and trying to get them away. Embrace these young people. Embrace the old people. Embrace everybody. That's the gospel. So we're connecting with these regional ministries. And here's the thing. We have a ministry north of us, and this is a very short story because my time's limited, and I do want to honor the times here. They go into a city, okay? Their ministry is basically helping people use irrigation techniques to do micro farming. It's like a micro farm cooperative. So we have this group of people that the government did this. For example, 10 guys, they give them their little micro farms. It's a socialist kind of system. 3 guys work their butts off. The other 7 stayed home. The 3 guys harvest. The other 7 show up at the government and go, where's our share? It's a cooperative. Where's our share? And the government told the other 3, well, you have to give them their share. And they're like, but we worked really hard. Yeah, but. So my friend comes in and they're like, and guess what? The next year, the 3 guys didn't plant anything. Why would you work so 7 guys could stay at home? My friend comes in, he tells the government, he says, look, we're Christian, we're here to help, but we have Christian principles. And one of the basic Christian principles is this: if you don't work, you don't eat. What? Imagine that. We're actually asking people to work. So then they go in, the 3 guys work. Harvest comes in, the 7 guys show up and goes, where's our money? And my buddy goes, you don't get any money. They go running to the government. They won't give us our money. We're a cooperative, you said. And the government says, nope, they're in charge of it. Well, the next planting season, guess who shows up to plant? And in this, they find dignity. In this, they find value. In this, this city now is being transformed. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire is fulfilled, it's what? A tree of life. I have sat in the dirt, people. I have sat in the dirt with people. And you see, oh my gosh, Jesus enter into their lives. This whole born again experience is not a prayer. It is a transformation right before your eyes. The Bible says the scale drops from their eyes. And then you see, it drops and hope begins to flicker. They don't have a clue what to do. That's where you come in. I love Hannah's up here telling you about how many young people don't even know what a checkbook is. They don't even know how to manage money. But Hannah's responsibility now is she talked about money. She needs to sit down with somebody and show them how to do a checkbook. It's that simple. Those are the expressions of the love of Jesus. You want to be better and you want people around you to be better, you have to disciple them to be better. So my friends coming into the city, people are getting saved now. I'm in the interior. People are getting saved. And then when you come back to them, they're like, gringo is... Everybody knows what a gringo is. I'm gringo. It's a big gringo. All right, that's my name. Nobody knows my name. They can't pronounce Dennis. Imagine that. But gringo, tudo bem. So gringo. Oh, gringo. I don't know. But this week, I have this idea. I'm like, really? What's the idea? Well, I think we should go da 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 da. Can we do it? I'm like, what do you think? I love Jesus. I figured out, answer a question with a question, and you sound like Jesus. Can you do that? I don't know. Can you? You know? The principles of Jesus. Never give an answer. Just always ask them to answer their own question. All right? That's a freebie for you. That's discipleship 202 that you learn in the second class. All right. So here it is. Can you? I don't know. Well, what would it take? And all of a sudden, they're coming back with like, I mean, they're... Their hopes are now inflamed. Their desire is this tree of life. They're starting to scribble things down. They're starting to manifest life. He promised us in John 10:10, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth. He says that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I came that you may have life. And what? Life in abundance. Abundance is not a Mercedes-Benz to a guy who's sitting in the dirt. But abundance is having food on your table every week. There's a different perspective of abundance when you're living with the poorest of the poor of the poor. But I got news for you. These guys are hoping. And then they're transferring this hope into work. And this work is becoming fruitful. And the fruit. And now people are looking at my friend who has this now. This community's getting saved. The people are getting work. They're doing. They're producing. And then they're going, wait a minute. If I take a little bit of my profit and I reinvest it back in, they're doing like capitalism. It's crazy. We're in a socialist country and they're doing capitalist kind of things. And people are prospering. Imagine that. But anyway, that's aside. Now they're reinvesting. They go, wait a minute, if I take some of this and I put more seeds, and then the next month if I take more of this and I buy some chickens and I have eggs and those extra eggs, I buy some goats, and then there's some extra goats and I can sell the goats. They're doing this kind of stuff. And the whole community. And then there's the people from the outside going, wait, what's going on with you? And they're just, here's their answer. I don't know. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus showed up in my heart. I started dreaming again, and then he starts manifesting my dreams. My prayers are answered. My daughters are now getting married instead of living with men because they can't afford a marriage license. It just unfolds. And then people are going, I want your Jesus. Do you realize in the Old Testament it says that when the children of Israel entered into the nations, into the land of Canaan, they were freaking out. The Canaanites are freaking out, not because of the power of the Israelites. They said, your God has blessed you. And it freaks them out. It freaks them out. I want you to start freaking people out. Go to the poorest of the poor. Give them not a handout, but a hand up. Disciple them. Take a guy who has nothing. And then turn around. And then 3 years later, he's running a multi-million dollar company. He has the same potential as you do with Jesus. And then all of a sudden people go, wait a minute, weren't you the guy that was like, we'll work for food sign? He's like, yeah, but I encountered Jesus. Hello? That's the gospel. That's hope. There is hope in Jesus. There's hope in Jesus. Yeah, I won't even go there. Thank you, Jesus. Now, how do I know that the heart of God is inclined to the poor? How do we know that? See, I'm not used to this either. I'm used to sitting down in the middle of a bunch of people, and then we all talk amongst. So you can talk to me. I'd actually feel better at home if you guys start yelling things at me. Question, green gown, really? Is that true? I'm like, oh, I got to find it in the Bible. Yes, it's true. Everything I say, you should question in the Word. Go home and look in the Word and say, is that true? Is that true? But I'm going to tell you something. How do I know? How do I know that the heart of God is inclined to the poor? In the book of Acts, we have Paul. Everybody remembers Paul, wrote a whole bunch of books in the Bible. Paul goes to Jerusalem, and then in Acts 4, he meets the other apostles, and these are the apostles that hung out with Jesus. You remember those guys? They called them the disciples, and he says, no, you're apostles, and then they go out, and there's 3,000, and there's 5,000, and they're doing all this. So when we look at the apostles, we get an understanding. These guys hung out with Jesus, correct? So who would probably know better the heart of God, the heart of Jesus, than the apostles, correct? Okay, so we have pure religion is what? Come on, church people. Joey, what's pure religion? Taking care of widows and orphans. Who said that? Jesus. But it came out through Paul. Well, no, it came out through James. It's okay. I'm changing up on you guys. Gotcha. Anyway. But here it is. So there's one scripture reference. But then we have Paul, and he's talking. And he says, and when they had given me the right hand of fellowship, he says, they required one thing. He said, they required one thing of me, that I remember the poor. And then he goes on, he says, and that which I already gladly do. So the heart of these guys is, okay, Acts chapter 2, chapter 3, we have them, they're waiting tables. Who are they waiting on? They're waiting on widows. And they said, man, we are wore out serving. The apostles were serving, and they were serving, and they were serving widows. They were serving orphans because Jesus says, you got to go. This thing that I've given you, you got to go give away. And they're giving it to the poor. They're giving it to the poor. They're giving it to the poor. And then they finally go, man, we got to study. This thing is bigger than us. We got to find some guys who have a heart to serve so they can serve the poor, so we can turn around and find more guys who have a heart to serve the poor so they can go serve the poor, so we can find some more guys, train them up so they can find some poor and go pour out in the poor. That's the heart of God. Jesus raised these 12 guys up so that they would go serve the poor. His heart is inclined to the poor. You want to sit with the kings of this world, sit with the poor. How do I know that? My friend in the north now has the governor calling him. Now has the ministers of the job. It's the job guy. I don't know what it's called. It's in Portuguese in my head. He has the farm minister. He has all these officials calling him, going, when are you going to cut the cord? When are you going to go cut the tape? When are you going to go to the city? We want to go with you. Why? Because he has Jesus. Remember when Paul was put in front of Herod, and when Paul was put in front of these guys, they're like, man, you're awesome. There's some, you almost convinced me, all this Jesus talk. That was awesome. Pour out so much Jesus that the people around you just get so inundated with the love of Jesus that they can't help but be attracted to you. It's that simple. The poor in front of you, don't quit stepping over them. Sit next to them and say, man. And don't, it's not a checkbox anymore, people. It's a heart thing. You genuinely want this person to succeed. You genuinely will pour your life into them. Not that you're going to get anything out other than the fact that God will get the glory. That's ministry. That is the gospel. I'm going to finish with this. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13. That's all good. If that's the only interruption I have, our church is in our home, so we have kids running around, knocking soccer balls into us, the dogs running through the house. We got, I'm just sitting there, I got a kid tugging on my head, gring gong. Your dog just took my toy and chewed it up. It's like, okay, great, I'll pay for it later. I don't know what to do, it's like. So if that's the only interruption, Cheryl, I'm good. Are we at Acts chapter 4, verse 13? Now here it is. It says, now when they saw, let's bring this up. Silver and gold I have none, but what I do have, receive in the name of Jesus. They grab his hand, yank him up. He's been sitting there 40 years. 40 years. The dude has never walked. They pick him up. They drag him up. And all of a sudden, he starts bouncing and jumping and running around and dancing. And whoo! Whoa, glory! And here in America, we will give him a golf clap. Yay, God showed up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, it's lunchtime. Please, I'm hungry. But when you're sitting in the dirt, here you go. Go sit with the poor. Eat what they eat. Man, oh man, silence of the lambs. Go sit and eat what they eat. You'll figure out that it ain't about your gut anymore. It's about Jesus. But he's dancing around, hooting and hollering. And they go, whoa, something's going on out there. And then they turn around. Levi, I love you. I just saw you, man. I love Levi because his heart's inclined to the poor. He's awesome. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, now dig this, and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. If you're not educated, if you're common, God will use you. You don't have an excuse. Well, Eric's the leader of the church. He's the one that should be doing all the ministry. He's to train you to do the work of the ministry. If you're common, oh my gosh, I have a whole nother teaching series on. He uses fools. Be foolish. Just be crazy enough to evoke the name of Jesus and watch Jesus show up. And it says, they were astonished. And then what? What? It says, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Hallelujah. Take your whatever you are and spend some time with Jesus. That's the only qualification you need to minister. Your broken life with Jesus. Your screwed up family with Jesus. Because all of your brokenness, all your screwed up family, all of the junk in your life is there so you have a testimony to minister to the same person. More people, I minister to more people that look like me pre-Jesus than anybody else. They'll go, Dennis, you don't understand. I'm like, what part? I was you, but God. So don't run away from your past. I'm not saying embrace it because it's all cool. I'm saying turn it around with Jesus and give him glory in the fact that that which he tried to kill you with, what the enemy tried to get you down with, now has become a sword to go into the heart of darkness and kill those things which tried to kill you. That's the gospel. Verse 14, it says, but they saw the man who was healed standing beside them, and they had nothing to say in opposition. Nothing. Take that dude that you just came out of the muck and the mire that was walking around with a will work for food sign, and all of a sudden he's standing there in a $3 million a year company or whatever it is, or he's not even working for food, he just has a life that's normal, and they're going to look and go, because there will be accusations when you start going around doing Jesus. Religious folk hate it because they want people broken because they can't control somebody that has liberty. But I will tell you, you're in a house where you are free to be freaky free. If there's one thing about Eric that I appreciate, he will look at you and go, he'll sum you up in the natural. He'll sum you up in the natural and say, disqualified. And he'll look at you with that little Eric smirk and go, go. What can I do to help you? Why? Because it's not about Eric. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And when we start presenting Jesus, 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 this city should be so sick of hearing about Jesus. They are going to be loved with Jesus. Everywhere they go, it's Jesus. It's Jesus, 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 more Jesus, and some more Jesus. And for dessert, let's get some more Jesus. And then midnight snack, Jesus. Oh my gosh. Jesus says this. And Eric, come on up because I'm done with this. As the music continues, please come. No, I'm joking. Here it is. Jesus says this of himself. He says, lift me up. And what does the word say he says? He says, lift me up and destiny will draw on men to himself. No. He says, lift me up and I will draw all men unto myself. I don't have to do anything. I have Christ in me, the hope of glory. I present, I manifest the love of Jesus. They're overwhelmed. It's not Dennis doing this. It's not Vanessa doing this. We are blessed that we get to participate with the creator of the universe. But it's Jesus. They go, what? This love. I've never encountered it. You. And it's like, it's supernatural. Yes, I don't get it either. It's Jesus. Come on up here. Jesus says, come on up, 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 come on up. You don't have to just say Jesus. I mean, when I sit there, what do you think about this? Jesus. I don't know, Jesus. And then suddenly they're going to draw them in unto themselves. I love you all. Be encouraged. Use the name of Jesus. There is no other name that man can be saved except for the name of Jesus. There is no other name above him. All names on heaven, on earth, and beneath the earth are beneath the foot of Jesus. Jesus is everything. He is Lord of lords. He is King of kings. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Jesus is everything in a Christian's life. So I'm here to just, Jesus to you. I don't even know if that's a blessing. Jesus.
You've been listening to the Destiny Church Podcast. Our prayer is that today you were encouraged by the word that you heard from the Lord. If you have any questions or would like prayer, please connect with us at destiny217.org. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well, where you can find all of our events and things happening around the church. Thank you for listening to the Destiny Church Podcast, where you can find real, relevant relationships.